Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Abbott, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga real point of that cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black D. Holler.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Wednesday, July 25th, 2012. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, as always, J-Cat Morris. And, yeah, this is my new official day. I'm doing this on Wednesdays. This is what it is. Get used to it. I know we've been doing Thursday for almost 2 years now. But you know what? It's time for a little bit of a change. And there's, you know, good reason to it. I've explained it in the past. I ain't going to keep rehashing it. But I think this is a good day. I'm going to get comfortable on this fucking day. I got, you know, I do the Two Moms, One Show. I produce that thing on Tuesday. Wednesdays, Yakuza Kick Radio. Of course, our friends over at the Wrestling Soup on Thursdays. I mean, there's tons of stuff going on in the week to listen to. If, you know, you need a little room to fill on your iPod, or you need something to do while you work out or go to work or whatever the case is. You got lots of shows to listen to across the week as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, like I said, I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. I got quite a show for you tonight. We'll have on the line the Hellaware Assassin. For those who are not familiar with that guy, you will be when we're done. Very outspoken, very entertaining dude. I got a lot to talk about. You know, that 1,000th Raw that they did. I got that shit to talk about. I got you know, the Colorado thing with this crazy motherfucker over there doing his thing. I got a lot to say about that thing. You know, some stuff CZW's doing. You know, Drake's in Japan right now, holding it down. All sorts of things. USA's killing them on the basketball tip right now. You know, people want to hate on this current team, and nothing's like what Jordan was on. Nothing's ever as good as what Jordan's doing. Yeah, shut up. Get over yourself. But anyway, yeah, tons of stuff to go over. I'm not going to get into any of the heavy topics just yet. That's for later, because, you know, in just a minute I will have my guest on. for those who aren't familiar with the Delaware Assassin, guys, you know, a Delaware-based wrestler, obviously, mostly deathmatch wrestling, brawling, that type of thing. Did a whole bunch of stuff for, you know, a lot of time, and he was doing stuff just mostly in the, you know, the Delaware scene. He did go as far as, you know, the King of the Death Match and that type of thing as well. He did HCW. He did, you know, CCW's Tournament of Death. I mean, he's done a lot of different things. But, yeah, we'll be talking to him shortly. What do I want to touch on real quick? Well, if you didn't listen to it and you're into girl talk and that type of thing, they had we had Two Moms, One Show on last night, which will be our Tuesday show that's done by Nina, my girl, and Tink, who's Anthony Missionary Thomas's girl, you know, from the wrestling suit. So they do their thing on Tuesday nights. You can check them out 10 p.m. Tuesday nights. You check it on the archives, as always. And then us, you know, me, I should say, do this on Wednesdays now. So if you're used to listening on Thursdays, well, sure, you can download it by Thursday and, you know, try to check me live on Wednesdays and see what goes on there. What else can I cover? He's supposed to be calling in like any second. Said 9:05, so we're talking about, this is 9:05 right now. So any minute I'll be calling in. I'm also another thing, I don't want to like go too far, you know, overstep it and, you know, step on the announcement because I'm not going to announce it just yet. But I'm also on the verge of adding another show to my now, I don't know if you want to call it a station, network, whatever the fuck. I think all of those terms are inappropriate for what I do. But I will add another show to my feed. And I'm going to give you more details of that in the next coming weeks. It'll probably be, you know, a couple weeks off before it actually launches. And I'll definitely keep you up to speed on that as we go. But, yeah, I mean, look forward to that. That's another, you know, another person getting a show, another perspective. More bang for your buck. And being everybody who listens to this pays nothing, that's a lot of bang, you know? So, it's what it is. I'm also watching AGT's fucking results show out of the corner of my eye and shit. Because, you know, it's on live right now. And I'm kind of all about that shit. Yeah, this dog act's got to win over this dude that sings the Love Boat and shit like this. There's no way that the dog act don't win it.
Yeah.
No question. And then they got the dude that they shoot in a cannon. And they can't do shit with that. The dog act's got to win, so. Just waiting on Hellaware. Let me see. I don't know. Got to play a track. What should I do? I hate starting out this early and playing a track and shit like this. Yeah, the dog act one. That's what I said. Well, yeah, you know what? All right. I was going to play a track, but I do have on the line right now my guest, none other than the Hellaware Assassin. What's going on, man?
347.
You there?
Hello?
Yeah. Hellaware. Dropped off. Well, see, hopefully he'll call back. Heard all sorts of randomness, and then he was on. 1 second. He said hello. That was quite an interview. Hopefully we'll get a little more than that in just a minute. Just wait a second for him to call back in. Hopefully he could, you know, hold up on the line there. We'll just hope it works. I think he had just got a new cell phone recently, which is often disastrous for these type of shows. But, yeah, we'll see what goes on. Okay, he's back on the line now. Let's try to put him on again. Hellaware.
Hello.
You there?
Hello. I'm here.
Hellaware. Yeah, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, yeah, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, how you doing, bro?
Cool, cool. So, yeah, for those who don't know, it's the Hellaware Assassin on the line. And, you know, figure we have you on the show. I know you're an outspoken dude, got a lot to say. And, well, you know, why not let you say it? When did you start out wrestling?
I do strongly voice my opinion sometimes.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. So when did you start out wrestling, get into wrestling and stuff like that?
Well, I started going to ECW shows right around 1995. Delaware Mike, I don't know if you're familiar with Delaware Mike, but me and Mike used to go to a lot of shows in Philadelphia and see the ECW events, and I just got lucky one day and went to an after party in Wilmington, Delaware at the Big Kahuna after they did a Glasgow, Delaware show.
All right.
And I started hanging out with Bill Alfonso and Rob Van Dam and, you know, just bullshit with them guys and hanging out. And next thing you know, I was always at the shows and just meeting them cats around the back. And then I started meeting Justin Credible and Jason Knight and, you know, and everybody else that was working for ECW at the time. Got real close with Axel Rotten and Balls Mahoney and started working with them and hanging out with them. And, you know, they're the ones that pretty much talked me into, you know, trying to get into the business. But I told him back then, I felt as though I was too old, and I think it passed me up. You know what I mean? If I'd have done it at a younger age, you know what I mean, it might have been a little bit better. But you know, jumping into this business at 31 years old or 32 years old, that's you don't see that, you know, hardly anywhere. You don't really see too many people at that age getting into the business. So.
Sure. You got infamously DDP got in there late, but you really don't hear other people, you know, besides that in his story.
Right. So, you know, and so then after ECW sold out, you know, was bought out by Vince McMahon, I heard about Combat Zone and through Mike. And he heard about the Jersey-based promotion and told me that they were going to be doing a big event in Philadelphia at Viking Hall, Cage of Death 3. And he asked me if I wanted to go check it out. And I was like, yeah, well, I had heard about him performing in Smyrna at the Fire Hall a couple times, but I didn't realize that they was, you know, as extreme as they were at that time. You know, the most extreme I've ever seen or witnessed was ECW. So to hear about this Combat Zone Federation, you know, it intrigued me, and I decided to go check them shows out. And then I met Zandig's wife. And she was, you know, I overheard her talking to Mike Burns about, you know, the Delaware shows that they did and how much they really liked Delaware and they wish they could come back, you know, and get back into the Dover area. And I just so happened that my best friend, you know, owned a bar in Dover called Rack's Bar and Billards. So, you know, I got together with her and she got the word to John and that somebody from Dover was up here that had a connection for a bar. And then the rest is history, man. We just sat down, you know, hung out with each other, went back to his house, and we talked about the, you know, the Tournament of Death, the very first one, and you know, he was wondering if my friend would be down with putting on that type of an event, and I was like, hey, whatever puts asses in the seats and is going to make you money and going to make us some money, we're down for it, you know what I mean? If you're really trying to, you know, get your name out there, and Delaware's the place to do it back then, then let's go balls out and let's get it done. So that's what happened, so, you know, And then we had the controversy in 2003 and 2004 over the state, you know, wanting to ban all combative fighting and went through the whole city council.
Yeah, before we get to that, you know, so your friend owned the bar that hosted the first Tournament of Deaths, right?
Right.
Now, you know, being a little bit on the inside of stuff like that, now obviously, you know, they've been through so many different venues through time, you know, going through Tournament of Deaths like that. You know, do you have any, you know, insight on what it was like, you know, heat-wise from the state or anything like that for your friend hosting such an event at a venue?
Yeah, the first three that we did, I think, in 2002 were fine. They were perfect. You know, I got them, you know, I got John three sold shows, and it went off fine. Well, then the next summer, after those three shows were done, that's when the controversy started. That's when somebody, you know, from city council apparently, well, here's what really happened. Ruth Ann Minner, who was the governor for Delaware, her grandson was a big wrestling fan. And he had purchased, a CZW tape and was watching it at his mother's house. And she had come over to visit and she saw what he was watching. And it was the Delaware show from 2002. And she saw that, and then she's the one that made the phone call to Town Hall in Dover, and she's the one that got the ball rolling on getting something done to where the state can make some kind of money off of professional wrestling, MMA fighting, and boxing in Delaware.
Okay. So where did it go from there after that? I mean, Well, you know, obviously things continued to go on, and you know, you continue to compete and stuff like that. When did actually, you know, you become a competitor within CZW?
Well, what happened was is when, you know, John asked me, you know, what I wanted for, you know, getting him the connection with the bar. And I was like, man, I said, you know, I would really like to just get trained, you know what I mean, to be more like, you know, more another one of your ultraviolet wrestlers. You know, I really
right.
don't want to be, you know, the technical, you know, Bob Backlund, Rey Mysterio kind of wrestler, you know, Eddie Guerrero. I just wanted to be like that Cactus Jack. I wanted to be, you know, like just like New Jack. I wanted to be like the white New Jack, you know, the real crazy white guy that, that just doesn't give a shit. You know what I mean? So that's what I told him I wanted to do. You know, he loved my name. That's why he called the show Havoc in Hellaware. He thought the Hellaware Assassin name was real cool. But with
right.
only about a month of training, you know, it kind of hurt me a little bit. You know what I mean? Sometimes it hurt me with getting bookings because a lot of the workers didn't feel as though it was fair for me to be working on shows, and I didn't have to go through that long, you know, schooling like they had to go through. I kind of got some
right.
quick, easy training.
Sure. Now, where was that the first company you worked? All your training like came through there, and that was like the first place you actually worked?
Well, the very first place I actually worked was for Jason Knight up in Connecticut at
right.
at AC for Assault Championship Wrestling.
Okay.
What happened was, Jeff Rocker, who used to live here in Dover, Delaware, and worked for Combat Zone.
Right, I remember Jeff Rocker.
Yeah, well, he was good friends with Jason Knight, plus I knew Jason through ECW. We went up to do a show up there. Well, Rocker went up to be part of a show, and when we got to Jason's house, apparently he couldn't find nobody to take on Bull Dredd, his current hardcore champion. So just joking, I said, man, I said, I'll take the guy on. I said, we'll do like a little like boxer versus wrestler gimmick. You know, I fought in that FX Tough Man in Harrington, Delaware, you know, a few years back, and well, about
right.
a year before this took place. So we just, you know, storylined it, hooked it up, and I just told him straight up, I'll take him on, you know, boxer versus wrestler. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So it was fun, you know. I did lose the Bull Dredd, but that was why I got my feet wet. You know what I mean? I finally found out what it was like to actually be in, you know, in that squared circle and getting bumped upside my head.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you know, right there when you actually entered CZW and you started doing things, and they launched a Tournament of Death, and at the time the Best of the Best was at its height. You know, just really everything was really taking shape, and people really started to notice CZW, and you know. This is actually a little bit before these other companies launched themselves, or right around the same time that the Ring of Honor started popping up and stuff like that. What was it like to be around the early goings of CZW, which I still consider their best time?
Man, I tell you, I had a great time hanging out with all them guys back in the early days. It was just a great bunch of people to be around, and just, you know, awesome to go and hang out with Ruckus, you know, and Chris Cash and Z-Bar and them boys back in the day, and go on the road with them and take them to shows, and just to see those guys, you know, just come up, you know, over the past 5 to 6 to 7 years and just get better and better at what they do. I wish them all the best of luck, and I hope these guys can eventually go on like Ruckus and get to work, you know, with Sabian and get some shows up under their belt and get a little bit more TV time. It would help them all out. I'm glad that, you know, some of the, you know, I'm glad TNA's working with, you know, the independents.
Yeah, they sure are.
It was great. I really enjoyed spending time with everybody, you know, especially Trent. You know, Trent was, I really loved Trent Acid. You know, he was a very, very good dude to be around. You know, if you're sitting with him and it's just you and him at the Oregon Diner grabbing a bite to eat, he's a real dude, man. I really miss him, man.
Oh, yeah.
I love him to death.
Yeah, Trent was a phenomenal performer, one of the best on the indies straight up, and should have been a star. But Mike was one of the coolest dudes you could be around. So, I mean,
yep.
On both ends, the guy had, you know, an in-ring persona that you could not deny his talent. And then his out of the ring, he was just an awesome guy.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, what bad can you say about him? Not much.
I had a great time with him. We did the 10th annual gathering of the Juggalos, and he rode with me out there, and we rode in a packed little Kia. And
yeah,
and I tell you, he's just something that, you know, the stories that he tells you, you know, and the time that I spent with him was what I'll cherish for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Now, you know, I can't recall which Tournament of Death it was. I know it was one of those Delaware shows, but I remember you took something along the lines of a press slam into one of these It was like one of those plastic lawn furniture couches covered in light tubes. Do you remember that?
Yeah. TOD4, the Battle Royale.
There you
go.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that was awesome, man. I mean, that that was an awesome talk, man. But I tell you what, it lit me up, man. I was hurting for a couple days after that fall.
Yeah. Now, you know, I always jump around a lot, you know, on these interviews and stuff, so nothing's really sequential. But tell me a little bit about HCW and how, you know, that all came about and what happened there.
All right, well, Hell Aware Championship Wrestling, you know, me and Steve C., Steve Kopic, from Hell Aware Entertainment back then, we decided to try to launch our own little independent wrestling federation here. And we did like 4 shows down in Del Mar, Delaware at the at the Memories Lounge down there, and those were good shows. I really enjoyed them shows. We had Mark and Dave Briscoe.
When was that you did that?
I'm gonna say around 2004 or 5. I think it was 2004.
Okay.
But yeah, we did them shows down there in Del Mar, and every show just got bigger and bigger. I wish I could have really, really kept it going, you know. But there's just so much competition around here now with, you know, your Maryland Feds and the 3 Feds in the state of Delaware now, and it's 4 Feds, to be honest with you. I'm pretty short as that. So, yeah, I mean, there's like 3 or 4 of them here. So, I mean, I can always do another Hell Aware Championship Wrestling. So people seem to like it. People seem to keep requesting, you know, hey, Jay, when are you gonna bring back HCW? But it's there. I mean, you know, it's just a matter of finding the venue, getting our own spot so we can go ahead and continuously run shows as much as possible here. And that's what we're looking for.
A couple of things. Yeah, I got, you know, questions from people who, you know, for a couple of friends of mine I do have that live in Delaware, around Delaware. He wanted to know, why didn't you ever release the 2 other HCW shows on tape or DVD?
Well, here's what happened. We had a couple guys operating cameras at that show, and one of the guys had zoomed in the camera all the way to where everything that he shot was like catching a shoulder, a chest, or a chin real close up. So, and that was like the best footage. That was the one where Necro took on Toby Klein, and Necro took a nasty cut over his left eye, and we had to stop that match and just call it.
Yeah.
And we had to, you know, we had to set them guys up and let them have a rematch at one time. But,
actually hurt his eyeball on that one?
Yeah, he almost took it out, buddy. He took a nasty shot to some light tubes that were taped to the ropes, and instead of being, you know, hooked with rubber bands, you know, they ended up getting duct taped. And when that happened, that was bad because it just left you know, a charred piece of glass sticking up, and it really ripped him up pretty bad. But, you know, he came back from it.
Yeah, of course he did. He's
I, got, you know, I think the best, if you want to see, you know, anything HCW, just get CZW, or just get HCW's Mandatory Suicide from through Combat Zone, I mean, through Smart Mark, you know what I mean? That's
right.
That's the only thing that we have that they have that you could order from them. I've got some stuff on tape, you know, from the very first show they did where I wrestled Necro for the very first time. And I could probably get that burnt to a DVD and try to get it out there and go maybe get it on my, you know, get it on my Facebook wall and maybe sell it through Facebook or something. I don't know.
Right. Now, you know, something was that on HCW where you actually wrestled Brain Damage and took that roof bump pre-CZW Brain Damage?
Yes, that's on the Mandatory Suicide DVD.
Okay, so that is available.
Yeah, that is available through Smart Mark.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I saw pictures and stuff like that, and to me, I just, like, I couldn't help but just shake my head and go, man, I mean, the fucking bump you took off that roof was just tremendous. And, like, they've shied away from taking height bumps on I don't know how many Tournament of Deaths now after the, you know, the Mondo Zandig thing. And, you know, they did ones that came, you know, close. Necro took a thing off of, you know, a truck, and they did a couple truck things, but really nothing to the level of that. And then when I saw that bump, I'm like, man, I wish it was on a bigger show. And it's, and no disrespect to the show that you did, but man, if there was, you know, 700 people in the crowd, how much more would they have popped for that spot?
Oh my God. You know, I tell you, after that bump, I started getting work. That, you know, that's when, you know, Ian called. And, you know, next thing you know, I'm on the IWA King of the Death matches. And then Brandon, you know, Kevin Brandon's calling. And he wants me on the Carnage Cup. And he wants me on the IWA Deep South King of the Death matches. So at that time, I'm like, wow, I guess, you know, just that bump right there is going to actually give me some bookings. People's wanting to see me. You know, and then I was like, you know, 05, 06, 07, the ball was rolling, and bang, it just started to slow down, and, you know, now I'm being told it's my age, you know. If I was a little bit younger, I would probably be, you know, I would have done it, you know. I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, yeah. I heard, you know, I miss it. I'm going to, you know, I'm doing something here. There's something going on September the 15th here in Delaware, so we got, we got a good show coming up, so, you know, it's I might do something at that, you know. Have some, if those that like the Delaware Assassin might want to come to the Del Mar Delaware show September 15th, you might get a chance to see me.
All right. You also back then did, you know, an infamous Mark versus Jay Briscoe, which is pretty much always infamous because it's Mark and Jay Briscoe, for Christ's sakes. You know, they beat the shit out of each other, like, you know, it was one of those, looked like a shoot fight. They were hitting each other so hard. And then, you know, they end up, you were, I think, in the main event, and Homeless Jimmy was involved and all that stuff. What was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I like Homeless Jimmy. I met him through the brain damage and Necro. And we were going to go ahead and run as a tag team. And, you know, like I said, I just, you know, it's really, really hard to do these shows, you know. And if I would have continued to run with HCW, then, you know, he definitely would have been my tag team partner. And I really liked working with them guys. You know, I liked them. I mean, I first saw them on XPW. I was like, wow, I like this gimmick. You know, I like this whole persona. You know what I mean? I wanted to get the guy around sometime and get a chance to work with him or work against him.
Yeah, he, you know, he was in the first Tournament of Death, and he actually got a lot of credit off of doing what he did, you know, the spot with Mondo off the truck, and just really never seen anything more out of him after that. I guess he had more of a shine pre-Tournament of Death and in XPW and that type of thing, and just never got his chance to, you know, prolong himself after that, I guess.
Right. You know, I really believe, you know, different strokes for different folks. There's a bunch of us out there, man, that really wish our careers would have taken off a lot better than what they did. But that's irrelevant, man. I enjoyed what I do. I enjoyed what I did. I had a great time working with CZW and working through IWA. Just for them few shows that I did do, I had a blast, and I nothing can take that away. I really enjoyed myself, you know, and I still,
for sure.
I still do. You know, when we do these 1CW shows here in Delaware, you know, I really have a good time at these events. You know what I mean? The people are great. We always have a good turnout here, and I'm enjoying myself.
Now, you know, you worked Brain Damage before, you know, CZW knew anything about Brain Damage, and, you know, you became a phenom later on down the line, and then it became really on and off, and now I don't know many people that could actually tell you where he is right now, but I know the fans loved his work and all of that stuff. You know, what was your thoughts on working Brain Damage and, you know, maybe your relationship with him throughout?
Yeah. Marvin's a good guy, man. I've spent a lot of time with him. You know, we rode, you know, we've hit the road together before. It's health. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just health. I mean, last time I talked to him, you know, he said his back was hurting him. He's been having problems with his knee. You know, he gains weight and he gets real, you know, he loses a bunch of weight, you know. So,
yeah, he definitely does.
Yeah, you know, just like Toby Klein, he slows down, you know. He'll get the rolling here for a while, and he'll get a bunch of bookings, and then he'll slow down, you know, and spend time with the wifey and the kids and take a break for a while. But we're getting older, you know what I mean? So the only one in the group that's really rolling on is Dylan. Dylan's really doing it up out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he did have to, you know, tone his stuff down to a certain point because he was taking the sickest bumps in the business for years and years, and, like, you know, to do that for so many years, you're either going to die, retire, or you're going to tone it down. And, you know, he just became like the classic brawler. And, you know, that type of guy. He did his Ring of Honor stretch for a while. And, you know, of course, he still has that sick motherfucker in him. But in the same token, you know, he pumped his brakes a little bit just to keep it moving, you know?
Yeah.
It's necessary.
Yes, definitely. He's amazing, and he's another wonderful guy. He lived with me for almost a year. You know, we worked at a furniture company delivering furniture. I had some really good times with him, you know what I mean, and I looked out for him, and he's a good friend of mine, and, you know, I see him at least once or twice a year. Matter of fact, I'm going to see him in about another week and a half. He'll be here in Delaware.
Cool. Off of wrestling, I've heard that you were, you got a little background stuff going on there. I don't know what's up. You got me on speaker or something?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm right here.
Nah, but it's echoing. That's all.
Okay.
From off of wrestling, I've heard that you were doing some bodyguard work for the Backstreet Boys.
No, here's what I was doing with them. I was building their stage for them for an 8-week tour back in 2000. I worked for a rigging company out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and when they did their American tour through the northern part of the country, starting in Detroit and ending in San Diego, I did that 8-week tour with them, of building their stage and hanging all the, flying all their PA and putting the trusses up and everything. And that was a good job. I really enjoyed that. That was good.
You had to see some crazy shit through that, though, right? Touring with the Backstreet Boys.
It was, of course, they were the biggest pop group at the time, and it was their Black and Blue World Tour, and I'll tell you one thing, let me tell you something, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I was in the Pontiac Silverdome for the beginning of the tour, and we just got off our shift building the stage, and they were letting people into the building. It was 63,000 females that were screaming. The pitch was so loud, it sounded like a million rats just hissing. It was the sickest shit I've ever seen in my life, and it was after venue after venue after venue, and it got worse once we got to Seattle, and we got into California, San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Fresno. It was bad.
Damn, that's something else, man. Like, traveling with them or doing whatever, what kind of stuff did you see? Obviously, these people definitely did some serious ratting and everything else. You want to...
AJ was probably the wildest one out of all of them. Everybody knows, I'm familiar with his, his drinking problem or his his addiction, which, we all have some type of addiction, whether it's sugar or a drug, we got it. But was all right, when the shows were over, and they would be, standing out next to the bus or something, drinking some water or something, or getting something to eat before they board up, and we're all standing there just hanging out and, waiting for them to board up so we can start tearing stuff down and hit the road ourselves. Just an amazing bunch of people just to be around. They're making millions and millions of dollars, and they're big time, and there's millions of girls out there would drop in a minute to be around them, and it's amazing. That was probably just as exciting, I guess, as working for the King of Pop and being on tour with him and just seeing how people act around them, around that person. So it was amazing to see.
Yeah, I would guess for the buzz that they had, for sure, it had to be quite an experience. Do you get any runoff on the rat flow?
Yeah, there's about 40 million of them in the United States. There's about 40 million rats in the United States. Rats now, I don't no comment on the rats.
Well, I just mean at least the overflow of what the, was going on with the, Backstreet Boys influx,
Well, it was, be honest with you, it was kind of like they were pretty much settled down and more mature, on that tour. It really wasn't a bunch of wildness, it's like straight to the bus, straight to their airplane and on the road, or, to the next hotel, and, that's about it, and it's off to work, build everything up, do the show, and then hit the road again, so.
There's all of these, women or, whatever you want to call it, that, are looking for something out there, and then to hear you standing there. So did it work out for you at all, in that perspective?
Well, before I was doing the Backstreet Boys tour, I was already doing the NASCAR tour. We were building that Winston Thunder Theater back in 2000. So I did 36 weeks with them, starting in, Daytona and ending in Homestead.
What were you doing there?
Of building that Winston Thunder Theater. That was the last year that they advertised tobacco products, was in 2000. And we built a movable 300-man movable theater that traveled to every racetrack.
Oh, wow. So you're just building sets wherever you went, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I got into that business through a friend of mine that, you know, used to live in Mexico, New Mexico, and, you know, he turned me on to that field of work, and, you know, I did it for about a good year and a half.
Right. Now, I mean, where was the point? Because I feel like there was a point that you kind of fell out of the CZW, you know, I don't want to say limelight, but, you know, you really weren't around as much anymore. What happened there? I mean,
after we did the Hollywood gimmick with Necro.
Okay.
Once that was pretty much demolished, you know, we were done. I mean, they had nothing else for me to do. I was playing a life coach, you know. I was, you know, working with him, and I wasn't doing anything in the ring. So they never said to me, "Hey, you know, Helloware, do you want to, you know, step back in the ring and start working?" And it was like, no. It's like, all right, man. Well, thanks for working with us, and blah blah blah. And, you know, and then he went his way, and I went my way, and that's pretty much how it ended with me and them.
How did that whole situation go down with the, you know, the Hollywood Necro and all of that stuff? And, you know, I mean, how did you get into that? And, like, did you enjoy the role? And, you know, what was your thoughts on the whole, you know, experience and, you know, that going down?
Well, they were running that role, like, during the time that they were shooting the movie. And, during that, and they just carried that, like, you know, they carried that into the ring. And then, I think John might have asked me if I'd be interested in being like a life coach for Dylan. And I was like, a life coach? He was like, yeah. He said, you know, we need somebody that's, his best friend, someone that's been there for him to come out and be his life coach and pull him away from the ultra violence and keep him straight and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, all right, well, you know, I can do that because, you know, I like him and I can talk to him and he seems to listen to me. So we ran with that, and after that, that was about it. You know, I talked to him a few times and asked him, you know, can I make a return and maybe, you know, do something with Gage or something, or, you know, do something with anybody, really. I didn't care. Now they got Matt Tremont. You know, they got the Bulldozer with them, and I've met him a couple times, and we've talked, and we want to work each other really, really bad. So,
He's a super guy.
Like, yeah, really super guy.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, the whole thing, I know a lot of people had, you know, kind of sour feelings, and, you know, even Danny and, you know, people just said, you know, it just didn't go as well as they wanted. It kind of drug out too long, and there, you know, there was a lot put into it. There was, you know, a lot of people that put other aspects into it. Of course, you know, you were teamed up with Dylan and, you know, Nikki Benz, and, you know, you had everybody going on. I think they had Bruce Prichard. They had tons of people in there. And I think Billy Graham actually, you know, contributed a lot to the angle and stuff. And I don't know. I just, that's what I'm saying. Like, what was your feeling on the angle in itself?
Well, I really loved the angle. Really was. It was me and Billy Graham and Delaware Mike and Brain Damage. We were sitting at the Oregon Diner eating breakfast. And that's when Delaware Mike and Billy Graham were discussing the life coach role. And I was like, well, you know, I said, I could do that. You know, I mean, I'll do that. I got no problem doing that. And so that's where, you know, it was given birth, was right there at the Oregon Diner.
Nice. So you always did well with Billy Graham and stuff. I know, you know, Billy, I'm, you know, he's a good friend of mine, but in the same token, I know a lot of people have their, you know, ups and downs and different feelings about Billy. And he's a, not only outspoken, sometimes overspoken. He's a talker, and a lot of people, I don't know, they have their feelings, but, you know, I don't know. So, you've always been good with Billy?
Yeah, I love Billy. Billy's just blunt. He just tells it like it is, and he's got a very creative mind, and he's 100% about what he does. And that's why he's a real cat, man. And you can't take that away from him. And anybody out there, you know, that has any kind of heat with him or they don't agree with anything that he does, that man's contributed a lot to Combat Zone with production and videos, storylines, you know, graphic. I mean, he was right there. You know, people that should still be there. You know, I think that I really think that company has taken us a downward spiral. And it needs to have a grand finale like a firework. You know, they need something new, something fresh. I mean, they need a chance. They're gonna get that probably when Gage comes home. But
that's a couple years off. Let's hope they're still here. Let's start off with talking about what is wrong with CZW right now, because believe me, I comment week in and week out on what is wrong, and you tell me what you feel is wrong with CZW right now.
I don't think there's, like, nothing really wrong with CZW other than the fact that their booking is not, I mean, like, I agree with you 100%. I mean, it was a good match between, you know, Joker and help me out here because I got a brain fart.
Masada. Well, the Joker Masada is booking, like, coming up. But other than that, they don't have anything booking coming up that looks good at all to me. Like, I don't give a shit.
Didn't Drake and Joker just work each other?
Well, what actually just happened was, I could talk about last show. Last show was Sami Callihan and Drake in a one-hour Iron Man match. That match was fucking phenomenal. The match before that was Masada versus A.R. Fox, who A.R. had mixed feelings about, but he's a very talented dude, and they put on a very entertaining match. The rest of the card was shit.
I
don't know.
Well, I remember when every match was hot at one time. I mean, it was hot after hot after hot after hot match. And now you're right. It's like, let's just kick back and let's just sit right on down in these chairs and we'll get up, you know, in the last two matches. I mean, he's just holding and, keeping them and hanging them, you know, getting them to hang on to stick around for those last two matches of the night. When they used to start it right off with, like, bang, like a fireworks, man, and it was hot. The place was jumping. I think the move, you know what I mean, out of, you know, South Philly and being there for so long, I don't think it should affect the attendance for Combat Zone, but, you know what they're allowed? They can only do so much up there in Pennsylvania. You know what I mean? If the boy was smart, he'd build a big-ass building on his property or his parents' property and just run there all the time and shoot it there.
Yeah, honestly, and it's a hard trek. I probably couldn't make it every month, but if you got some Wi-Fi in there and stuff like that, I would buy the pay-per-view every month, and I'd make it out there as often as I could. And he could do anything there. And that's, I mean, not a bad thing. I mean, obviously, that's a large cost to build a building there. But,
If he was to spend, I mean, right now he can get a good 80 by 100 for about $25,000 to $30,000. That's a pole barn built, but I'm not going to say that's going to include the P2000 in there to keep it insulated, or what it's going to cost to put restrooms in there and maybe a little kitchen to cook food and sell food. But it can be done, and that's what one of these promotions in Delaware needs, because everybody's just renting a spot to do a show when nobody has their home base, their own building somewhere here. And once that happens, whatever promotion does that first, that's the promotion that's going to start drawing them in down here, because you can do it rain or shine. You don't have to worry about the outdoor weather events.
Yeah, I mean, if DJ could get past permits and all that stuff, he definitely has the land. And, yeah, in the long run, he'll probably make the money back. But it's quite a leap to get into. I don't know if he's got it to put out. But, yeah, it's shit, man. It's not a bad thing. Like I said, I ain't going to be able to attend too many live shows. That's like 3.5 hours. I do Tournament of Death every year, but that's a fucking trek, man. I got to get babysitters for my kids and 3.5 hour trip there and back. It's a motherfucker. But, shit, man, get some Wi-Fi in there. And by all means, me and somebody else, tons of other people, will get that shit on iPay-per-view every month.
Right. Well, hey, if you know, we get something rolling down here, you know, Jay, you're more than welcome to come down here, and I got you. I'll put you up. You know, whoever you come down with, you're good to go.
I hear you, homie. But, man, it's, you know, I mean, there's things he could do, but honestly, I think DJ needs to take himself off the card. I've been saying this week in and week out. Eventually, I'm going to stop saying it, but I'm probably going to stop saying it when he does it, so it's not going to happen. He's the owner. You can't go out there and be like, you know what? You guys are fucking assholes. And next week we got fucking Jun Kasai coming in. And then the fans are like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, but I fucking hate you guys. And then, you know what? main event is fucking no rope, barbed wire, 200 fucking light tubes, tear the fucking ring off, fucking set it on fire. The fans are like, yeah, and he's like, yeah, but I still don't like you fucking guys. Like, I don't even know what you're doing. Like, are you trying to get over? Are you not? What are you doing right now? Like, it's just,
yeah,
it's irritating what he does.
Yeah, I caught that at the TOD, and I was like, what's up? I mean, he's out there. I mean, what is going on here? I mean, how much longer is the owner going to play a role in the company instead of just, you know, getting busy and putting it together with a good, you know, with a good writing, with a good team,
and take it
back a few years. Like, take it back to where he wasn't running the company and the other guy was running it.
And DJ was on the undercard, you know. But, I mean,
I went to school.
DJ,
he went to school.
No one wants to see DJ wrestle, quite honestly. If he needs to, fine, whatever, but stop being the guy who's on the mic, because you can't hate the fans and wrestle as a heel and also tell them all the good news that's coming up for the company. You can't do all those things at the same time. You know?
I agree. I agree with you 100%.
It's just logic. Like, if Vince McMahon came out and was like, you know what? I hate you fans. And the main event tonight is going to be Hell in a Cell. CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan. We're going to light the ring on fire. And it's going to explode after 35 minutes. And the match has to go 45 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
But I hate you guys. Like, it's just, the fans are going to go, I'm really excited, and I don't know what the fuck his deal is. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's what DJ's doing. He's just doing on some shit, like, fucking hate you guys, and here's where I'm going to make you happy, and I hate you. Wow. All right. Like, just, like, banging a chick for 2 years and just giving her the ride of her life, and every time you're done being like, I can't fucking stand you. I mean, in between, it's going to be rough, you know?
Right.
You're going to have to build back up to fucking having that next go, because they're just like, this is awkward. That was really good, but wow, like, I don't know how to feel about this motherfucker right here.
Like, well, maybe he'll recognize it or he'll pick it up when he pops, you know, one of the DVDs in and watches it and goes, oh, man, oh, my gosh, oh, wow, oh, man, I look bad. I should not be out there in that ring at all.
I would hope so, because, man, I've had enough people who wrestled that agreed with me, let alone, you know. Even if he can't get out of the ring and he just says, all right, Maven, go out there and make all my positive announcements. Okay, well, then DJ's not the guy playing both sides, at least. And then try to improve on your wrestling, because no one likes it. But other than that, I mean, yeah, okay, at least it's not the same guy that's trying to make me angry, telling me all the good stuff. Like, that just doesn't work.
Yeah. I got a great idea, you know. I should, you know what's going to happen, maybe. Like, be nice if DJ's in the ring and he's got the mic in his hand and he's out there just making an ass of himself, and all of a sudden the lights just go out in the building, and then you just hear, like, a body hit the floor or hit the ring. And when the lights pop back up, there's a figure standing over him, all dressed in black, and everybody's wondering, who the hell is this that just laid out DJ? And they're probably popping big time for it, because Big Boy's laid flat out on his back. And then all of a sudden, the man grabs his chin and pulls the ski mask off, and guess who's standing there over top of him?
Who's that?
The Hell Aware Assassins. We're tired of your shit. They're tired of your shit, and I'm here today to challenge you to a match. You lose, you can continue to come. You know, you lose, you're done. You're not out here no more. You beat me, then hey, run it. Do whatever you got to do. Yeah, I might sell some tickets, but anyway, it's just a thought.
You have lofty expectations.
Right. You gotta love that. No, I like DJ. I mean, you know, he works for us, you know, and he's. Maybe he, you know, we talk to him, you know, he talks to us, you know, we all got a Facebook page, we all talk to each other, so, you know, that, to where people don't get to read it and they don't get to see it. So, you know, I'm pretty sure he's been hearing it from a few people. I'm pretty sure he might be listening right now, for all we know.
Well, I don't know right now, but he's definitely heard a few of my shows, and I can't imagine that he likes me personally for all the things that I've said, but I really don't mind. You know, I don't know. But anyway, through the CZW time, you've seen a lot of things and stuff like that. How about the Delaware show where diehard Dustin Lee cut his back open? Had the I think you were part of that car ride to the hospital. How did that go?
Yeah, that was amazing. I couldn't believe that I couldn't believe I saw that. I mean, I've seen some nasty cuts in my time, man, but that was horrendous. That was horrendous. I take them. I don't want to see nobody have to sit and wait on an ambulance that might take 10 minutes to get there. You know what I mean? So I just put him in my car and I'll run him to the hospital. He's not the first one I took. You know, took Sexy Eddie once. I've taken Necro Butcher to the hospital, and now I've taken Die Hard Dustin Lee to the hospital. But it was crazy. You know, accidents happen. You know, I'm glad he was okay though.
When did you take Sexy Eddie when he did the Spider-Man blood out of his arm?
Yes, sir. Yep, I'm the one that took him to the hospital. As a matter of fact, I think it's me and Steve C that bring him back to the ring. And so Zandig could, you know, let the crowd know that he was supposed to be there the year before, but he couldn't make it in. And that's when he said, you know, he's bleeding all out his arms. He's got to go to the hospital. Ambulance was supposed to be on the way, but I said, John, he don't have time for no ambulance. We've got him taped up. We got to get him out of here. So we took him. So I ran him to the hospital. Then as soon as I got right back in Smyrna, Delaware, I had to pick Necro up and take him to the hospital for the cut on his chest from Gage hitting him with the kick through the sheet of
glass.
With
the boot scrape, right.
Yep.
Nice. Wow. That was same show.
Yeah, same show. So
you were just hospital ambulance guy that day, huh?
That's all I was that day, buddy. I didn't get to see much of anything. I had to wait for the DVD to come out to get that.
Holy shit. And what a show it was, man. Wow. Well, at least you helped keep the guys safe.
Yes.
So, but yeah, man, where was I going to go? Juggalos, you know, you work for those guys, and I've heard, you know, nothing but great stuff about how they pay the wrestlers and all that stuff. How's been your experience, you know, working for the Juggalos?
All right. Here's what happened with the Juggalos at the 10th annual gathering of the Juggalos. I was going to work the oddball shows, but
okay.
I didn't get an opportunity to work the shows. I ended up passing out in my tent, and I ended up missing the oddball shows. So what Corp did was is he let me come out with a few other workers that didn't get a chance to work the show and separate. We had to separate Dan Severn and Ken Shamrock. And so that was my first time really getting the opportunity to run out there in front of, you know, 10,000 screaming juggalos and get bombarded with everything that you can imagine being thrown at you. So that was an experience. Now, this year, if I can make it out there, I am booked to work the oddball shows this year. So I'm just hoping that I can get out of here and get out there to Illinois and do this show. But with this new job that I got, seal coating driveways and parking lots in Delaware through Burke Seal Coating. We're on Facebook under Burke Seal Coating. That's going to take up some time, and that's a lot of work, man. So I'm hoping that I've done enough between now and at least the 7th of next month to where I can take them 4 days and get out of here. If not, I'm going to miss it, and I'm going to be truly, deeply upset, man, if I miss this, man. But it is what it is. I got to make money and pay my bills.
Now, to take a side note before I go back into other stuff that I got to talk about, you know, I've been watching a lot of your videos and stuff like that, and I see that, you know, you fell on hard times and stuff like that, and then you got this business going and stuff like that. You were looking to lose your house, your animals, everything like that. So what's the current status on all those things, man? Is actually starting to go well.
Yeah, well, you know, as long as I can get out there and I can hustle and I can grind, you know, and I can speak to these, you know, these people that have, you know, driveways that need to be seal coated, and just let them, you know, explain to them, you know, what the purpose of seal coating is, then I'm going to be fine. But right now, as it stands, if I don't make a paycheck between now and at least Wednesday of next week, I look to have my power cut off. But I've got a program that I'm going through that might help me out and go ahead and take care of this bill for me until I can go ahead and get back on my feet and, you know, and I can get rolling again next month. But, yeah, it's been a little bad couple months here, man, for me. You know, I'm going through a big ordeal. it's really tough, man. It's tough to talk about. You know, I've been here for 31 years in this house, and you know, there's a possibility that I'm gonna have to move out of this house, and I really don't want to do that. I was pretty much raised in this house, so.
So far, you still holding it down?
Excuse me.
I said, so far, you still holding it down? Everything's still, you know, at least for the moment.
Yeah, right now I'm in the house right now. You know, everything's on. I got my power. I got my cable.
I'm doing it.
I'm alive, and every day I wake up and you know breathe air into my lungs. And, you know, I bless the Lord above for letting me live another day. And you never know what tomorrow's gonna hold for you. Tomorrow can be that day. You know what I mean? And today was a good day. Tomorrow's even gonna be a better day. I just try to stay positive and think positive and try not to let nothing get me down, man. And that's the direction that I'm going in.
Hey, man. Now, do you watch any of the current wrestling product or any of that stuff?
Yeah, I peek at it every now and then. Before I got into the business, I watched it all the time, you know, like ritually. And then after I started working, I really didn't watch it that much, but only for, like, education. You know, watch these professionals and see how they work and how they perfect their moves and how they perfect themselves in the ring. And they really master, you know, their talents. And that's about it. You know, I love the entertainment. I love the storylines. I love everything that's going on. I think the 1,000th episode of the WWE was awesome. You know what I mean? That was a good 3 hours. I really enjoyed watching that. But I don't really watch so much. I've been watching a little bit of TNA here, a little bit more than I have been the WWE.
I mean, they're doing quite well, actually, you know, highlighting some of those younger guys and stuff like that. Like, I can't knock what they're doing there. But, I mean, they still have a lot of flaws with the, you know, the older guys are still running the ship. And, you know, Hulk Hogan having a job anywhere is fucking despicable to me. I mean, you know, I know he's a super over-the-top legend, but, I mean, how long do we go with this?
Mm.
You know, I don't know. That's just my thought.
Mm. I love the old school. I got the WWE on demand 24/7. And I do find myself frequently going there and checking out and seeing what new stuff they have on, because I like watching the old WCW and the old NWA stuff from the 80s. I really love that.
I love the old WCW stuff. I'm a little too young for the NWA stuff that went on and stuff. But in the same token, my thing is, okay, now, if you want to call, you know, Sting or one of those guys one of the best ever, it's not for what they're doing right now. So that's why I feel like we should move on from what they're doing right now. It's not to disrespect what they've done in the past. It's because there's other guys who are willing and ready to take over this business on being the top form of entertainment wrestling-wise out there right now. And then it becomes, well, you know, I don't know. We're just going to give Sting the title again. It's like, what? I don't. Hogan? What? I don't know, man. I can't do it anymore. Dude, I'm fucking 34. He's what, fucking 60?
Yeah. Jesus. I know. But yeah, he was a big time, man, when I was like 14, 15 years old, 16 years old.
Yeah, let's do the math, man. Does shit that happen anymore? No.
Oh, gosh.
No.
You know? No. Uh-oh.
Give him a plaque, give him a fucking Hall of Fame, give him everything you can, and then get the fuck out of here, dude. There's new wrestlers.
I tell you, I got the opportunity a few years ago to spend a lot of time with Scott Hall at the Gathering of the Juggalos at the 10th Annual Gathering.
That's cool.
I like him. I enjoy talking to him and walking around with him. You know, we went and got some turkey legs out there because that's what he likes to eat, and I wish him the best of luck, man. I hope he gets himself straight and he's back and doing his thing. And I like Scott Hall, man. It's one of my favorite wrestlers.
Tremendous talent. And I mean, did you see the ESPN the story thing that they ran?
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, it was like, I think they do like 60 minutes and they break it up into three. So it's like 20 minutes per person. And they did like the 15-20 minutes on Scott Hall, and man, it would bring tears to your eyes, man, to just see all of that and to see like they really exposed the downfall that he went through and how high he was and how low he was and his son talking. And it just, man, you look at that and you're just like, you know what, that's terribly sad, because this guy was,
it is
definitely
sad. You know, but what's really sad is like actually knowing him and actually spending some time with him, like not just 15, 20, I'm talking 12, 13, 14 hours, you know what I mean?
Sure.
From like 11 o'clock at night until, and just, I will never forget that, man. I really, for the time that I did get to spend talking to him at the show, man, was a different side of what, you know, the bad stuff, you know, with his addiction and everything. He was actually, for those 12 or 13 hours that I was with him, pretty decent. You know what I mean? He wasn't really, you know, hurting. And I saw the thing on the internet with him and X-Pac, where his Pac is sleeping on his couch. I guess he's got a little internet thing too going on, like something with Scott Hall or something like that.
Last Call with Scott Hall. I never really watched much of it because I kind of know what he's up to, and I really don't want to see like the downfall of what he's doing. I don't know. Something about it is just, it's crazy, especially after seeing that ESPN special. I'll link you to that shit too, just because it's really not that long, but it's like really touching the way that they like, you know, glossed over it. And you can only hope for the guy to do better and to break out of it. But like the way that they pitched him and the way he talked about himself was like it was completely terminal. And there was, you know, nothing that was actually like put upon him that was a disease that's going to kill him. It was something that, you know, he's kind of doing himself and is accepted. And it's just like, man, fuck, that sucks. So I don't know, man. But yeah, I'll send it to you, man. It's pretty touching. But,
great, yeah, send that to me. I'd like to check that out.
Yeah, but, you know, Scott and all that, I mean, there's a lot of different things that went on in wrestling. As far as, you know, all this, you know, crazy stuff that's gone on in wrestling, what death in wrestling actually affected you the most? There's been so many, and it's brutal.
Like, wow, man. I don't know. Every one of them gets me. I'm just the kind of guy. I'm an emotional guy. I'm a pussy. You know what I mean? It's like weddings, funerals. I'm the dude with the tissues in my lap. You know, I'm just being truthful. All got me, man. But really got me was really, you know, it got me so bad I couldn't even take the ride to the funeral, and that was Trent. You know, when Mike died, I just could not believe that. That rocked my world, man. I just couldn't, you know, Chris Cash was enough. You know what I mean? And then Mike, you know, I was, wow. I just wasn't strong enough. I wasn't strong enough to pull myself together to go to that, because, you know, there was, you know, something happened at the gathering in 2000, at the 10th annual, to where, you know, he went with me, but he didn't come back with me. You know what I mean? The person that took us out there left us there. He took off on us on a Saturday, and he left to come back to Delaware and took the vehicle that we rode in. So we both had to end up trying to find a way to get back to the East Coast, him to Philadelphia and me back to Dover, Delaware. So he was waiting on his pay, and Too Tough Tony was already packed up and getting ready to head back to Louisville, Kentucky. So I rode back to Louisville with him, took a bus from Louisville all the way back to Dover, Delaware. And Trent ended up flying, I guess, out of Louisville and back into Philadelphia. But when he got back, I guess, you know, he told his story about what happened with me and him and Steve C. and out there. And I started catching heat from it. You know what I mean? A couple workers were pissed off and screaming at me for a little bit there. You know what I mean? And I think they were, I just didn't know how to take that. I didn't really want to. I knew I had a funny feeling. I think I know why they're hollering at me. They probably think I left Trent at the gathering and didn't bring him home, and that's not the case.
Right.
So, you know, I clear that up right now. That's not what happened. We both ended up getting left there, so we were both up shit creek without a paddle.
Right.
So, that got me, man. So when he passed away, that really touched me, man. I just couldn't. It chokes me up now just to even think about it and talk about it.
I hear you, man. Trent was definitely the first for me because he was the closest that I had to someone that I, like, you know, maybe I wasn't on, like, a phone talking thing with him. Because, honestly, not many were with Mike other than the people who, you know, he was normally down with and stuff like that. But he wasn't, like, an internet dude. He wasn't, like, a real cell phone dude. Maybe, like, in the later years or something. But he wasn't one of those dudes. So, as far as, like, your fan that got really close with him, well, I'll see you at the show. And then we're fucking bros when we see each other. And then you break off. But the connection was the same, and the last time I seen him, I definitely shed tears on the way home, and I said, dude, my boy is going to die, and I was sad as fuck, and it was only less than a month later when my girl picked me up from work and was like, Mike's dead, and I'm like, I fucking broke down. It just... You knew it was going to happen. You saw the shape he was in and all of that. But what it came down to was, like, you just, no matter what was going on, you didn't want it to happen because he was that fucking good. Of a person, of a performer, of everything. And it was just like, don't let it fucking happen. And it did. And that was definitely number one for me. Obviously, you know, a lot of people in the business, obviously when the Benoit thing happened, it fucked my world up. Like, I shed tears over that shit, too, because to me, the most talented fucking professional wrestler on TV, period. And this fucking guy was breaking barriers to make fucking wrestling mean something on TV. And when that shit happened, it was like, oh, fuck. It was like the wind was completely taken out of the sails of wrestling. And I would go as far as to blame the fucking PG era for that, because... Right. You know, just following that, they were like, we need to fucking change direction. They had some shit going on with Vince getting blown up in a car. They fucking broke kayfabe on that right away. They were like, no, fuck any of that. Here's Vince. He's fine. They didn't know what to do with themselves. And I just think there was nothing they could do but to try to make a positive light out of their company and wrestling as a whole, because what a fucking terrible tragedy that was that struck the wrestling business. I mean, what can you do with yourself?
Yeah, I was like, when I saw that, I was like, hold up, wait a minute. Did that just really, I mean, where are they going with that? I mean, did that just really happen? I mean, was this an accident, man, or what the hell? You know, if that, you know, I went, you're absolutely right, man. It's like, that was wow.
Yeah, it fucked shit up, but then, yeah, I mean, another guy as far as indie-wise, man, JC fucking Bailey. That was fucking rough. And, you know, seeing all the different people that I was, you know, cool with, you know, within wrestling that, you know, got to hear him talk. And, I did a JC Bailey tribute. And, I mean, man, the amount of calls and wrestlers and stuff that you can hear just pouring out their hearts and losing their shit. And the times I got to meet JC, man, it was just fucking rough. Fucking rough, man. That dude, he's another one of those guys, super talented, should still be here, man.
Yeah, I know. I tell you, man, I wanted to shine with them guys right during that era, man. You know what I mean? That's why I'm glad I was part of shows that he was on. You know what I mean? He was an awesome dude to sit back and talk to, man. Another one, too. All them guys, man, and my heart goes out to their families, all their loved ones. To this day and forward, you know what I mean? And anybody else that's out there that's on the brink of doing it, man, because you know what? It ain't going to stop. That ball is going to continue to roll, and someone's getting ready to go. And, you know, it's just a matter of time before, you know, someone did go. But, you know, but there's someone that I know that I have met, I've talked to, or I've spent some time with, it's going to go. And I don't want to see it happen. I really don't.
Right. No, and I do want to get off this topic, but, you know, because you've been around these guys for so long is why I brought it up, and I figure, you know, to get your opinion on it. But one more guy I'm going to get your opinion on, but he's not gone yet. You know, you earlier talked about him being back. Now, do you think that this situation with Nick Gage saved his life?
I hope it has. You know, I think it has. I mean, when you're when you're having, you know, when you're having, when you're traveling down that rough road, man, and yes, I believe it has. I think he's going to come out and he's going to come home. He's going to be a different person. He's going to be fresh. You know what I mean? And if he just stays right. like that, stays straight, walks that straight, you know, narrow path,
right.
and don't fall off. You know what I mean? He'll be just fine, man. Come home, you know, get with your family, get yourself a job, and do your thing, man. And if you can get back in the ring and you get yourself back in shape, go for it, dude. Keep on rocking and rolling. If they're going to pay him, keep on doing it.
Yeah, for sure. I fucking love Nikki, and it was another one of the stunning things, but it was just like, fuck, man, if that's where you're at and you go in there, maybe you can get yourself right, because, you know, robbing a bank in broad daylight, you're not in a good way. That's why all this free Nick Gage shit, like, all of that can suck my dick. I'm tired of seeing this free Nick Gage shit, because that dude was one of the most talented people in deathmatch wrestling. That doesn't mean when he's at a mind state to go rob a bank in broad daylight, you should free him because he entertained you. Like, you know what? The guy needs help, and I'm hoping this is going to get him it. It just...
I believe it will. I mean, Nicky's a good dude, man, and he's not a dumb guy.
Yeah,
he
is.
You know what I mean? He's gonna come out. He's gonna know, because he's not. Not only are we gonna talk about it, but other people are gonna put it in his ear, and he's gonna hear about it. You know what I mean? Yo, man, they were talking about you on Acoustic Kick Radio, man. Boom, boom, boom. Hello, where's Assassin and Jay?
He knows me.
He
knows me. I was talking to him for all sorts of time to get him on this bitch, and I know one of the main people that go visit him in jail. That he's. He's deplorable. I can't even talk about that guy.
Well, he needs to bring his ass home, because he's got 13 of my DVDs and I want them back.
Well, he ain't got them in jail with him, so you better hope the motherfucker still exists.
Yeah, all throughout his house. He says they're all good to go. They're put away in his collection, so they should be safe.
Okay. Well, shit. But, yeah, man. So, you know, outside of that, well, I said I was going to go into positive. How did I do? All right, well, some of the videos that you posted, you know, I kind of would like you to reiterate some of that shit. Like, right here is, you cut one about haggard-ass bitches. Elaborate about these haggard-ass bitches.
I'm just sick of these haggard bitches, man. You know, these girls around here, man, it's sad, dude. You know, you go to the club. You know, especially when Wesley is in, the local college, man, is a nursing school. So some of the hottest chicks from New Jersey and upstate New York come to school here. So in the fall, you go to Racks or Bubba's now in Dover, man, it's like 7-1 in there. But every one of these college chicks, man, are a bunch of haggard bitches, man. They just want the perk, or they want the powder, they want the money. They want the free drinks, and if you don't put that down their throat and in their pocket in these clubs around here, you don't stand a chance with the good-looking girls that's banging the 36, 24, 36. You know what I mean? That look real good. That look like dancers and strippers and porn stars. You can't get that shit around here. You know what we end up with around here? Chicks with tattoos from the neck to the wrist. You know what I mean? That might live out there in the country and shit on a farm somewhere and ride horseback. You know, got a banging ass, but little tiny titties. That's about what we end up with. So I'm just getting sick of them. You know, I get text messages and I get emails from girls that are, like, overweight and heavy and, you know, or girls that are just straight up haggard and just talk a bunch of bullshit and they just mark out all the time, and I just get sick of it sometimes. So that's why I posted what I posted. I just get sick of these haggard bitches. And Haggard Bitches 2 will be coming out soon.
And they still ain't trying to fuck, right? Crazy.
Nah, there's nothing around here. This is about the boringest damn town in the country. Dude, let me tell you straight up, I don't go nowhere on Friday and Saturday nights because there's nothing here that's exciting to go to. Unless you want to go up to the Dover Downs International Speedway and hang out at the casino. You know, of course, that's the popping spot. You know, restaurants, nightclubs inside, but it's old. It gets old. I'm 44 years old. I need me a woman about my age that's got 3 or 4 kids, maybe a grandchild, a big-ass house and a nice fat ride, and she's ready to park a car up under my ass.
All right, well, sure. Something else. My dude Paul said move to Salisbury is worse.
Salisbury, Maryland?
Yeah.
Oh, Paul. Oh, Paul. Yeah, Paul lives there. That's my boy Paul, man. I love Paul, man. He lives down there. I talk to him all the time.
Yeah, he said move to Salisbury is worse.
His name is Paul, right?
Yeah, yeah, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he's not lying. It ain't much, and that's only about 45 minutes down the road, and probably less than that. It's probably about a 40-minute ride to Salisbury, maybe 45 tops, and that's not far for Delaware.
Right. So where do the homeless people wind up in your house? Because that's another video that you cut that I got to comment on, dog.
Okay. All right, look, there was a dude that grew up in this neighborhood. I
just start yelling. The homeless people are going to get out of my house, or they're going to pay me. I'm like, wow, I don't have any homeless people in my house.
Here's what's going on. Here's what happened. Like I said, there was a boy that I watched grow up as a teenager through this neighborhood.
Okay.
And now he's about 27, 28 years old, but he's like a 3-time convicted felon. He's an outcast, you know, pretty much like myself, but he's really bad off where I've been turned the leaf and, you know, I'm on another path than what this guy's on. But he was sleeping in this little shed across the street from me in the neighbor's backyard. And I catch him every morning about 6 o'clock in the morning coming out of this little shed. So I was like, man, that's Carl. That's my boy. I said, let me go holler at him. You know, I know he's got to be hungry and shit, man. He probably needs a shower. So, you know, of course, you know, being the nice guy that I am, I called him on over here. And all of a sudden, you know, after, you know, letting him come in and get a little something to eat and something to drink, you know, he just started to come over all the time and started hanging out. And so I told him, I said, listen, I said, you know, you don't have to sleep outside. It's hot as hell out there, dude. You can crash on my couch. Just pay me $10 a day. You pay me $10 to sleep here at night. That's cheaper than a hotel. And he was like, man, I can do that. So he was paying me, you know, $10 every night to stay here and crash on my couch. Well, then he started slipping. He went 2, 3, 4 days. Well, come the fourth day, boom, I had to send him up out of here. I told him, look, you got to go. You ain't giving me no money. You're not just going to freeload and lay up in here. I'm being nice and kind to you. Now you're taking my kindness for weakness. Hit the fucking bricks before I drag you up out my house and toss you out on the highway.
Nah, I mean, that's some kind of real dude shit right there. So, you know what I mean?
It's real dude.
It not make
I'm
sense.
A real dude. Real dude shit happens to J.D. Good. I'm telling you that right now, man. That's with you. If you go to my Facebook wall every damn day, you're going to find something interesting to read.
Oh, that's for goddamn sure. Well, you know what? I was going to talk about this, you know, once you were off the line, but I know you also had some comments on it. So I'm going to raise this topic right now. And the Colorado shooting. I'm going to go ahead and go first. This fucking guy, you know, walked into the theaters dressed as whatever the fuck, with, you know, body armor, you know, face joint, the whole thing. His hair was dyed red, but nobody saw that because he was all masked and fucking locked up because he was ready to not die. So it's crazy because, like, you know, on paper, he was labeled a genius. He went into this fucking building and he, you know, obviously made himself a clear psychopath by killing all these people. He was also a failure because, I mean, he had, I think, 4,000 rounds. He had one gun that held 1,000 rounds. He supposedly made contact with 72 people. He killed 12 people. Now, I'm not saying, hey, step your game up, dude, kill more people. I'm just saying, like, you know, to call him a genius and step out there and say that, you know, oh, he clearly had his shit down. Well, I mean, to a certain extent, but to me, he's still a failure. And to even go out there and just kill random people, for Christ's sakes, man. Like, this is fucking deplorable. This is terrible. And this fucking guy's a clown. He wouldn't walk in front of one grown-ass man and talk some shit to him. But he had to get fucking 4 or 5 weapons and go walk in and kill innocent people. I can't understand why this would happen. And then, you know, you got this, you know, this following behind the Batman movies. And I got my own opinions about these new Batman movies, but it's hard to even explain during what just happened. But that it's not their fault. It's not their fault. Like, this shit could happen during the fucking, you know, Madagascar or some shit. You can't ban Madagascar from the country because some fucking asshole walked in there like a fucking lunatic. I mean, if someone walked into the Super Bowl, would you not have a Super Bowl the next year? I mean, obviously, the same thing as 9/11. You can't stop operations. You're letting them win. You know, this guy, like, if he would know that they stopped production of this movie, they stopped airing the previous movies, this guy would be sitting in jail like, you goddamn right they did. Now, fuck that. Pretend like this guy doesn't exist. I refuse to say his fucking name because he deserves no more credit than he's already got by press. And
right.
It's fucking despicable, man. Go ahead. What's your thoughts?
It's sad, dude. I mean, exactly. What a coward. I mean, it's, you know, to me, I believe that he is one of them, you know, type of cats that, you're right, very, very smart, very intelligent, you know, a PhD in neuroscience, a very smart guy, but caught up in this movie, caught up into this character, to honestly actually believe himself that he was the Joker, and this was a role that, you know, he apparently had to play out for this film. He's been planning this, you know. I've been watching this, like, every day on the news from beginning, as soon as my eyes open up until I shut them, I watch HLN, I watch Fox, I watch it all on this. This guy has got some serious problems somewhere. There's something in his brain that just took a person who could have went on and probably became the next Bill Gates, and he's turned into a psychopathic killer, man. I mean, it's going to be a very interesting trial. I'm pretty sure millions of people are going to tune in on TV and watch it. He should not get any more television airplay, nothing, until this guy goes to court. Nothing.
Nah, he should be put to death, first off. Second off, I think right now, from what the footage is being shown and even seeing other people commentate on it, everybody that, you know, is completely against this guy is under the assumption right now that he's sedated. Like, if you see him in court right now, like, he just looks completely laid back and chill, like sedated. Like, he doesn't look like on a normal mind state. So,
okay,
which is fucked up to me and other people, because why not let him be a fucking psychopath? He was spitting at cops fucking a day or two after this happened in lockup. Like, he was fucking still acting like a maniac. Let him act like that in court. Now's his fucking time to face the fucking music. Are we going to sedate him to make him look calm? I mean, I don't think that should be legal.
No, they definitely zandied that boy up. He was sitting there, and on top of that, I guarantee he hasn't really slept much from Thursday or from Friday until even when he went to court on Monday. So they probably kept his ass up with bright lights on inside of his cell, you know, medicine in his drink, medicine in his food. I can tell you right now, he was definitely sedated on Monday when they had him in court. He was ready to go to sleep, just lay there and go to sleep.
Yeah, to me, that's completely wrong. This guy should look like the fucking animal that he is. Let him flip out in court, spit at the judge. Let the judge look back at him and be like, may God have mercy on your soul, because you're fucking going to death chamber, dude. You're fucking over.
Yeah.
We don't need you in society. Why should our taxpayers pay for you to rot in fucking jail? Get the fuck out. You're done, dude. Goodbye.
All right, well, check this out. You're not going to believe this, but I'm going to tell you something. And this is a possibility that it could happen if they do not throw the death penalty at this James Holmes boy. And he ends up serving life in jail. I can guarantee you, after 10 to 15 years of being locked up, that prison system will put him in a room teaching people neuroscience in jail, and they'll probably pay him 35 cents a day. You know, I mean, I don't know. I think he's going to get the death penalty. They're going to probably, he's going to sit 20 years. They got three guys in Colorado on death penalty, been on death row for 15 plus years.
Yeah, I don't know, man. From what I saw, hold on a second. I can't understand why this shit would happen. And then, obviously, there's other, you know, commentary that comes with it. You know, 12 people died, you know, mad people injured. You know, mother's giving birth, like, yesterday or today with their husband fucking in a coma, like one level below them. I mean, it's just terrible shit that has come about this. However, you know, one thing I do have to comment on that I feel is not, I feel it's fucked up parenting is, you know, you got a 6-year-old in the fucking, 6-year-old passed away that was in the fucking theater at midnight to see Dark Knight Rises. Like, I'm sorry. Like, this is not the movie for this. This is not the time for this. Why the fuck would you bring it? Dude, I got an 8-year-old and 2 2.5-year-olds. I wouldn't bring my 8-year-old to the Dark Knight Rises at noon, let alone fucking midnight. And you bring them there to see that shit for what, man? For what? Like, this isn't fucking back in the day. This isn't even back in the day fucking Batman, like Batman 1 or Batman 2. Kind of dark, man. Scare a lot of kids with the fucking crazy-ass Jack Nicholson Joker and the Penguin fucking drooling and looking crazy.
Yep.
Now, you talking about this movie, Batman's going to get his fucking back broke. Oh, spoiler alert. Fucking Batman's going to get his fucking back broke and just fucking put out a fucking commission. Okay, so at midnight, we're going to bring our 6-year-old to see this shit? I mean, that's horrible parenting. Obviously, your kid does not deserve to die. But in the same token, Jesus Christ, man, what are you thinking bringing your kid to this? And then... and then another person brought an infant, you know, okay.
4-month-old baby.
Yeah, four-month-old.
A four-month-old baby, what the fuck?
Well, the popular argument here is, well, the baby's going to sleep anyway, so why should they not be able to have a night out? You know why? Because you have a 4-month-old baby, asshole. I have fucking 3 kids. And I never went to a movie with a fucking 4-month-old baby. And I had 3 kids that had been 4 months at one point. And it never fucking crossed my mind to, hey, it's a midnight showing of something that just opened up. Let's fucking go. Like, no. I have a 4-month-old kid, and it's not an option. We don't have a babysitter. We're not fucking going. Not, hey, they'll probably sleep anyway. No. And, of course, nobody deserved to die. It was only a movie. But if we're also talking about a movie, let's break down the facts of everything. And it just sucks that so many people were involved. This fucking asshole should have never breathed long enough to fucking do this to other people. But come on, man. You know, there's so much wrong with that situation.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot wrong with it. You know, I don't know. With the ammunition that this guy had and the firepower that he had, I'm really shocked that only 12 had died. You know, you had 71 people. I'm looking at a 30-something body count. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. I mean, it's 12's one dead's bad enough, but that's crazy. Thank God no more did die than 12. And I hope everybody that got shot and that's still in the hospital, the 18 or 19 that's still in critical condition, I hope they all bounce back. Because if another one dies, it's 12. And it's... that's crazy. I mean, that is the
Agreed.
Most shocking thing. Other than seeing that dude at SeaWorld get sucked under the water, that's pretty wild.
And that's, well, yeah. I mean, dude, that's that's the other, like, super fucking thing that, you know, should be highlighted. Assault weapons should not be legal for fucking civilians. Oh, okay, listen, I'm not pro-hunter. I'm not... pro-gun, I'm not really completely anti-gun, I'm not pro-hunter, because that should be, that. I'm not even going to get into that topic, I'm an animal dude, but it should be regulated to certain things that doesn't involve just random rednecks with a past blue ribbon, but what I'm saying as far as, you know, guns go, alright, for your protection, that's fine. An assault rifle, that shit has 100 rounds. What the fuck are you defending in your house with 100 rounds in it? That shit should not be made for civilians. Like, cops don't walk around with that shit in their trunk. Why the fuck should a civilian just be like, well, you know, just in case, I have 100 rounds? Like, what the fuck is that?
You know what really amazes me is how the percentage of the gun sales has increased by 43% just since the shootings in Colorado.
Well, because now they feel like fucking the law isn't protecting us from people having 1,000 rounds in a movie theater and a couple of fucking canisters to make us all loopy and not even see them coming. Well, guess what? Fucking I'm going to get at least a sidearm to hope that I can make it out of that motherfucker. Like, this is what it is. The law has failed on so many fucking points to say, you know what? No, you're a civilian. You can't. Legally, and he legally owned a fucking, semi-automatic fucking assault rifle with 1,000 rounds in it and fucking straps of fucking ammunition. And supposedly the gun jammed, and that's the only reason he couldn't continue to unload with that same gun. And he had to go to one of his other two guns that he also bought online. You know, shotgun and another sidearm. Like, man, so many balls were dropped on this.
That AR-15 he has, nasty, man. You know, that thing there fires them out, man. But you know what's really crazy, Jay, is even the AK-47 sales are up big time in Colorado, because as long as it's not semi-automatic, you know, spitting them bullets, you can buy them guns. You can own one. It just can't be automatic. AK-47s, nah. I couldn't believe I've seen that or read that on the news today.
I got to respond to my boy Brent in the chat. He's telling me, yeah, fucking, anyway, but you have to buy extra clips for that and this and that. And he's like, yeah, more laws. Criminals love to abide by the law. Listen, criminals don't. But the majority of criminals don't come up with the intelligence that these guys have in order to pull it off. If they had to go through the routes, like, that guy could not walk into the projects and go buy a gun. He would get the shit knocked out. He would get the red knocked out of his fucking hair fucking walking into the projects trying to buy a gun. So that's the difference between that and that. It does make it a little more difficult. Now, if the law allows that guy to buy an assault rifle with fucking 1,000 rounds, it does make it more different. And again, Brent, tell me why a civilian needs 1,000-round fucking clip. Why do you need an assault rifle? You need to fire that fast in your life for what? Is your PlayStation broken? What the fuck is going on with your life that you need to fire that many bullets in a minute? As a human, what's going on?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It's just my feeling, man. Like, you like to shoot shit? Great. Fucking go to a firing range. You know, you can get your little fucking handguns and stuff like that. You have some shit that can blow off 1,000 rounds in a minute. For what?
I blow a thousand of BBs. I shoot 1,000 of them BBs out of the gun at the fair to shoot the little star out of the square piece of paper. Now, that's about the only thing automatic. That's about the only thing automatic that I'm shooting.
Yeah, but they even got that shit on the pivot so you can't spin it on the crowd behind you. They know better with a BB gun.
Because I thought about doing it. I don't know how many times, but the chain in the gun won't allow you to turn. It sucks.
It's just not safe.
I would like to just be his counselor. I would like to be the person that gets to sit down with him and gets to talk to him, because you know that's going to be one interesting fucking job for whatever shrink gets to start talking to this guy.
Oh, yeah. No, but that's sickening, because now he's all sedated, and now they're going to talk to him, and now he's going to look sympathetic. This motherfucker killed a whole shitload of people, looked the fucking cops in the eye calm, and was like, you know why? Because I'm the Joker. Like, how do those guys pretend like he did not pull the gun one more time and just kill him in the fucking parking lot? Like, how is that not fucking possible? As many people as they've unrightfully killed as cops, they can't just like, oh yeah, and then he reached for something. I didn't know. He said he was the Joker.
Exactly. and it's nighttime.
30 days unpaid leave, and then now you're back on the force. Like, come on, man.
I tell you what amazed me with the aerial footage of behind Century 16 movie theater was where his car was parked. If you look directly in front of his car on the sidewalk behind the building, you saw huge puddles of blood splatter all up and down the sidewalk. And you see his apparently he had a shield thing too or something that he had.
He was body armored up, man. He had a helmet, the whole shit. Like, he was armored up.
This guy, man, he's like I said. It's going to be a trial. It's going to be just as watched as just as popular as OJ's trial.
Here's my other point about this too, that I feel is like really, you know, substantial. And like, even the mother tried to correct herself afterwards, but I don't give a fuck about that bitch. They called her to be like, hey, by the way, your kid just, you know, I mean, he's an adult, but your son just walked into a fucking theater and you know, shot fucking semi-automatic weapons at people and fucking killed this many people and this many other people are injured. And, yeah, I mean, he's going up on some pretty big fucking charges right now. So just to let you know, that's, like, kind of what your son just did. And she's like, you have the right guy. Like, so clearly you had fucking warning signs. And you just let this motherfucker loose to the public. Like, you created, you brought this shit into the world. And then fucking years later, when he killed somebody, you're like, yeah, yep, that's him. Like,
yeah, that's exactly why Mama's not showing her face right now, because she knew he was on the verge of doing something. I could feel it. She knew. Mama knows. Mama knows something's going to happen with her
but
son.
But she wasn't fucking with him. She just knew that, like, oh, yeah, that motherfucker's crazy. That's why I stopped talking to him. Like, oh, really? Because you're the fucking mother. Get something done.
Wow.
Like, Jesus Christ, man. Now, like, all these people, like, he didn't even know none of these motherfuckers. Like, yeah, took out a couple grudges and a couple other motherfuckers as well. Like, that's not right neither. But if you had some motivation towards that, guy was just like, I want to kill a bunch of fucking people because I think I'm the Joker. And, shit, my mom knows I'm crazy, so why shouldn't I? And it just went into a fucking... And why shouldn't she also face charges? Like, seriously, like, he committed the crime, but why should she not also face charges? Like, admitting that she knew that this motherfucker was off the wall and never told anybody.
Hey, well, you never know what you're going to read on the bottom line tomorrow when you see the news, because that could be something that's in the makings. I mean, that's...
Well, I hope so, because it's unfounded. It's unfounded. Normally, like, every child, like, none of the Columbine kids, their parents got in any trouble. They were just like, oh, I just never, I don't know. He stopped talking to us, like, 2 years ago, and then next thing you know, how should I see that coming? Like, your kids stopped talking to you 2 years ago, you fucking idiot. Like, I don't know. Certain shit there, man. It just, to me, it makes a lot of sense. It just, look back at the parents, because... Hey, man, maybe you just had a crazy fucking kid. I'd say at least 2 out of 10 were just snapped somehow and you can't explain it. I'd say the other 8, you can look back at the parents and see exactly what went wrong or what they ignored. It's crazy shit, man. And this fucking kid killed a ton of fucking people. And you can look at him in his face and just be like, ah, that's... If that dude walked up to me on the street and was just like, hey, man, I like the way you're fucking looking at me right now. And he didn't have shit on him and nothing else. Like, there's no way this kid is making it out on a positive level.
There's nothing you can do. There's nothing that a defense attorney can do to try to do for anything. There's nothing they can do for him other than the fact try to go for the insanity plea. Because how do you defend him? We all know he's guilty for what he's done. He's already in custody. So I mean, I was just wondering what that public defender was sitting there thinking of sitting next to him on Monday.
Telling you, insanity plea. The insanity plea goes very far. And he just like, oh, he played a crazy person. Now look at him. He's not even paying attention because now they got him sedated. I don't know why that's legal. All that shit should have to pass through. How is his testimony going to go as according to what he's on? You can put him on some shit as soon as he's off the motherfucking trial. You can't change what his mind state was before he starts talking. The fuck are you talking about?
He must have started going ballistic as soon as they put him in the back of the police car. He must have been going nuts, and they probably just took his ass.
Yeah, not only that, it was like a day or two after, he was spitting at motherfuckers. Like, he was spitting at the cops and shit. And then when they brought him into court, he was just like, I'm just licking my ears. The fuck, really?
I'm surprised they didn't put a spit guard on his face.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they did for the time they needed to, but they just didn't film that. They just—I don't know what it is, man. I don't. It's getting too much press. Obviously, there's reasons why it needs to get that much press for the parenting that went on between some of the people that were there. But believe me, that's the least of anything that should get press on this. But honestly, a couple people should be called out. But in the same token, the parenting of the fucking people that led this kid to allow to be due to shit. You know what I mean? Like, if they lost so far control of their kid, they were like, You know what? I'm not calling him anymore because he's going to fucking kill someone, and I don't want to have nothing to do with it. I mean, if that's your final fucking thought on your kid, then you should have told somebody about it before he went and killed a bunch of other people's kids. I just...
Yeah.
I just can't agree with that.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. You can bet it. I can hear her now. You know, we've spent too much goddamn money on him. He gets $2,400 a month. We're spending $26,000 per semester. You know, he's, goddamn it, I'm done with him. He's going to end up going, yeah.
this
is going to be
fuck that motherfucker. He seems crazy. We spent all this shit. Fuck that guy.
Stick me in the cell with the guy. He'll be a null and void come tomorrow morning.
Yeah. But that's the thing, like, and it's just like, yeah, he gets pitched into this, and then now it becomes, well, poor guy. Should be put to death,
man.
Look at
him. He's
all these other people are gone, no
more.
Questions asked.
But, and then you got the movie buffs out there that's so addicted to the Batman shit, they are like, yo, man, the Joker's for real, man, he's arrested, he's in Colorado. You know, I can't believe it. I heard two kids at McDonald's this afternoon when we were getting lunch, and that's just where I heard it from. Not the one kid's mouth. He was like, "Ain't that pretty cool, man? That the Joker, there's a real Joker." And I was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe it, man!" And of course, the dude gets up and he's got the Dark Knight Batman T-shirt on.
Jesus. But now you had mentioned something on Facebook too that I kind of like to address. You thought that it was classless for them to be playing the last two Batman movies. Do you think do you really think that's the truth? That I think if someone does something heinous like that and then you stop doing what you were going to do to do it, you know, what you were going to do, I think that makes them win more. Now, I mean, well, what's your thoughts, man?
Well, you know, it's like this, man. I mean, if I worked for the network that showed both the Batman Begins and the Dark Knight the other night, on Tuesday night, man. No, the next night after was to happen, what, on late Thursday night, early Friday morning, so Friday night
right.
was on. If I was a network producer who was in charge of, you know, of the programming, I would not – I'd have pulled them movies. But the reason why is because the victims' families, you know, are home. Some people are home with the TV on and they're on the phone. But if you got the kids sitting at home flicking through the TV channel and they pop up all these movies, I don't think I would be wanting at that present time to be watching a movie that I know that my child just went and was murdered watching that, you know, that series of films. So, I mean, you play it at another time, and I just didn't think it was proper and it was appropriate.
I guess, man. You kind of got to – I mean, there's going to be offensive shit all over the fucking TV if you look for it. But when it comes down to this tragedy and stuff, well, I mean, if you stop – okay, just put it at any type of movie that spends – hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's going to make even more hundreds of millions of dollars off of that movie. One asshole that is not affiliated with you whatsoever, that's just like an over-the-top douchebag fanatic, walks into the fucking movie and kills a bunch of your fans. You're going to stop pushing the movie that those people that died gave a fuck more about the movie than the dude that killed them. Now,
exactly.
You're going to abandon all thoughts of making money about that movie, and it all becomes a promotion and everything else the same way it was going to go regardless. I mean,
yeah,
part of it, I understand. I understand the family if they watched it, but they shouldn't, and that company should make at least as much money as they were already going to, because shit, man, the people that died were supporting that fucking company. The dude who walked in was just trying to kill all these fucking people. I don't know.
I can see both ways,
like what you're saying, but like on my end, I just think like, nah, you don't change program whatsoever. Fucking pump this shit up. Batman ain't got shit to do with this fucking guy. And
right,
I don't even
that.
Like the new Batman joints. But fuck that guy. He fucking makes Batman make less money? No, fuck you. You're out.
Right.
You know? Put him to sleep.
Yeah, people do gotta make a living, and that movie's paying further, you know, for their living, so it's, you can't stop it, you know what I mean? But, and I take it back, you know, it's,
Yeah, you get that. Yeah, it's just you can't do that. True, it was already on. It was already scheduled to be shown, so it's shown. You're right. It's not the movie fault. It's not the people that created the movie.
Fuck him. Fuck him. Who is he to fucking lose anybody money? He fucking lost lives already. Now people are gonna I don't know. That's my only thing. I just get all fucking defensive about it. I'm just like, yo, fuck that. Fuck this guy. Fuck anything that can make this guy change any more of history than he already did.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
There's people that don't have another day of history in them, and yet fucking we're supposed to fucking pull movies off the fucking air for you. Like, get the fuck out of my face. Jesus Christ, man. That I don't know. It's just my thing. The whole thing's got me super fired up, dude. I'm sorry to like actually ended. You know, what we were doing on the interview thing with this, but I know you had some pretty outspoken statements on it, so I wanted to include you in it. That's all.
Right on, yeah, anytime, man. You know what I mean? I'm very opinionated, so it's, I'm gonna voice it, you know what I mean, sometimes.
I hear you, man.
At that present time, I just wasn't thinking about, the theater or the other side of it, you know what I mean? I was just like,
okay.
Wow, I can't believe this is on TV, you know what I mean? But I wasn't even, it was just a thought that just popped into my head.
I hear that, man. No big deal. It's just, different perspectives, and I always see both sides, so I definitely see, your thing too. Shit, man, if I was in the family, that would be the worst thing I could flip onto on the fucking TV, but fuck, at the same time, how many people are losing money from the fucking networks, so this and that, and I'm not, like, fucking Mr. Network and Movie, because that shit don't make me money, they're millionaires. But,
what cracks me up is why Batman, dude? I mean, there were so many other violent films that's been in the theaters here recently. Why Batman? I mean, that's like...
Well, I mean, as far as a following, like, what does have more of a following than, say, The Dark Knight with the Joker? Like, so many grown-ass men are, like, all about that shit. You know what I mean? With the Joker face paint, the dude died.
I would expect that some dude like hooked, that's obsessed with gangster movies to pull some shit off like that in a gangster flick, but
maybe you can't really post that like that lifestyle, like a guy like the Joker, like on his villain lifestyle. Well,
yeah.
That fits any random fucking idiot that grabs a bunch of shit and kills people. Because you could just be out of your mind and laugh and act like a goofball. If you're gonna act like a real gangster, obviously. Not a good idea either, but also they have their rules, their honor, their group, there's people around them. It's not just one random crazy man that walks into a fucking movie theater. It's, you know what I mean? That's why.
Excuse me. That's just
a lot of these personas don't work. For that.
No.
But it's not.
It's
not to blame the gimmick either.
Yeah. True to that. True to that.
It just works easier. So when you say why not a gangster movie, that's why I would say why not a gangster movie. But in the same token, it's not to blame the gimmick, because you'll get crazy motherfuckers that just do shit off of doing shit, and they just kill people because I don't know, man. I don't know how to break that mentality down, but it's.
Well, man, I can't even think that deep.
It's brutal stuff, man. But yeah, I think I'm gonna take a break or whatever, but I mean, thanks for coming on, man. If you got anything
problem,
to plug,
man.
You want got anything to put out there?
I enjoy talking with you, man. Call in whatever you want or give me a holler, man. I mean, I talk with you all the time. I don't care, man.
Will do, man. It was a good time.
Yeah, really. I really had a good time, man. Maybe sometime we'll get to meet each other, man. And I'll definitely keep in touch with you. That's for sure.
Awesome, man. Yeah,
Yeah, I'm trying to figure this Twitter stuff out. I just opened up my Twitter account yesterday, and
I only barely understand it, homie. Like I don't know, because I don't really fuck with it through the phone. And I got an iPad, but, like, something about the Twitter, I just don't like it that much. A lot of people are on
either.
It, but it's not as interactive. Like, the Facebook, they can hit you private, they can hit you with that. Like, the private shit looks as the same as the normal shit, but it's private. So then, like, it's all fucking crazy, man.
Yeah, I didn't dig it too much today. I've been twiddling around with it for the, you know, half the
I got one, but I really don't fuck with it much, so I don't
know. Well, cool, yeah. I'd rather just keep in contact with people through Facebook anyway. It's a little bit easier.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, hit me up anytime, and, you know, thanks for coming on. If you ain't got nothing to plug, anything else to put out, then, again, you know, thank you, man, and
no problem,
have a good night.
Yeah, you too, bud. Have a good one, man. Thanks for thanks for talking with me.
Not a problem.
All right, have a good one, buddy.
Yep.
Later.
So there you go. That's the Hellaware Assassin right there. Thought that dude, you know, did a great conversation right there. Did, you know, almost 2 hours going. And I'm going to take a break, come back, and talk a little bit of shit about this WWE and whatnot. Now I've done all this Joker talk.
What if I told you I wake up screaming and swinging, dreaming that I'm fighting demons, dreaming I'm swinging on heathens, competing and scheming to eat every piece of my peace when I'm sleeping. Need a priest and a deacon, I'm speaking to preachers, tell them I'm only at peace when I'm drinking. I'm sinking deep into hell, thinking I'm fiending for freedom, cause being in a well isn't good for my well-being. A walking zombie, I'll be comatose. Nobody loves a nobody who probably overdosed in the lobby of the Omni Hotel. Probably find me with an empty bottle of oxy, shaking like an earthquake inside me, or a cop the Holy Ghost. Wonder if therapy can take care of these monsters before I kill more innocent people than Jared Lee Loftus. They spit on me, shit on me, society kicked on me, hit on me till I was sick and exhausted, flipping. I lost it all for hallucinogenics they used in the clinic. I saw Lucifer's image, the elephant in the room, all my skeletons in the closet.
Bang me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Wake me up before I'm dead, don't bury me with monsters in my head. Monsters in my head, with monsters in my head, underneath the bed, underneath.
I always see them out the corner of my eye, scared to death to fully see them, but I try. I just want to ask them why they follow me around, and they reply when I hear a sound or they walk by and give me a chill I can't explain. It feels so strange. Is that a high? My anxiety's at an all-time high. One second I'm good, then I flip a switch and I'm thinking I might die. These dizzy spells are so annoying. From the outside looking in, y'all thinking I'm enjoying myself. I need help, man. I'm destroying every positive force with all these negative thoughts. How can I find happiness when I can't remember it's lost? I do so many temporary things to smile for just a minute. Hat low, but not for style. I'm trying to hide under my fitted dog. It's wild, you wouldn't get it. Try my best to make everybody laugh, but that's just a disguise. I'm really timid. Somebody make these feelings go away. Forget it, that's my problem. Y'all can have. I hate these monsters in my head.
I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Wake me up before I'm dead. Don't bury me with monsters in my head. Monsters in my head.
It's lights out like where the Amish stay. Pappy, you can't tax me. I'm like Wesley Snipes in the sovereign state. I'm a surviving, walking oxymoron. Obviously, I can say that I am alive and I'm trying to die this way. Y'all on your faggot shit. I'm on my dragon, my magnum clip. With monsters in my head like Urban Magic Dick. Niggas desert me like eating after the entree. But I'ma keep it 3,000 like after the entree. I've adapted to a private life. Yeah, right. Me saying that, it's like saying I'm shooting dice on the floor made out of dice. I made out of alive, this chaotic life. I just figured just quit giving dick to trick bitches and stay out of fights. But I'm on my high snorting. You see this monster ball, it's like seeing Halle Berry and Billy Bob Thornton. It's fucking classic. As far as rap, I wish I could wrap it in plastic and stick it up your fucking ass.
Now I'm laying me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Wake me up before I'm dead. Don't bury me with monsters in my head. Monsters in my head, with monsters in my head, underneath the bed, underneath the bed.
The keys to what I'm giving you. And it's habitual. He just ridicules, wants me in critical. Will appease and get rid of you. Maybe the only thing I seek is biblical. When the scars are internal, when the bleeding is invisible. Got a friend named Depression, the pill I take to relax him. But when he regurgitates, it's the ache you just couldn't fathom. Got a few talents,
but looking for a new challenge. I'll let you walk in my shoes once I find a new balance. With faith I stand peaceful, I know a man's equal, so I'm playing with the monsters like a Space Jam sequel. Give them two choices and stay on one, do the least. Tell them they can get off my dick or renew the lease. Persevere, though my bed is corrupt. Expect I give up when left to destruct, but I give less than a fuck. Sit back comfortably, react to what they want with me. The bright side is they keep an insomniac comfortable.
I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Wake me up before I'm dead, don't bury me with monsters in my head. Monsters in my head, with monsters in my head.
Alright, there goes some Slaughterhouse and shit. Alright, so Raw 1000, I cannot end this fucking show without doing this. Alright, come on with this shit. DX comes out versus, you know, Triple H and Shawn Michaels, and they rub each other's assholes for a couple minutes, and then it's like, you know, what's this? And then they bring out more people. So, of course, is, you know, Billy Gunn, who's probably the only one in the ring that doesn't look like he's fucking washed up. And I, you know what I mean? Well, I mean, I guess I could see a ring work if he actually gets back in the ring sometime. I don't know what's going on with him, but, everybody else looks old as fuck. And then X-Pac, fucking Hep C. This motherfucker, man. So they first off, they announced Badass Billy Gunn as Bad Beep Billy Gunn, and then Triple H grabs the mic immediately after and goes, "Let's get ready to suck it." Like, I don't really understand. Like, I don't understand the whole dynamic of this PG era. There's so much that's not PG, and then there's so much that's just like corny PG, like over the top. Fucking, what the fuck is Bad Beep? The first off, I don't give a fuck about your whole crew, and now you're gonna make it fucking harder for me to listen to. Like, this is fucking stupid. So anyway, then Sin Cara, Sheamus, and fucking Dolph, Sin Cara, Rey, and Sheamus versus Dolph, Jericho, and Del Rio. And then like they're turning Ziggler face, I think, because, you know, Ziggler hits Jericho and costs the match type shit. Like, I hope, because I mean, he's been taking bumps like a face for I don't know how fucking long. So why are we not gonna just whatever? Then they have fucking Jim Duggan and Roddy Piper jumping a rope, and Truth jumping a rope with little Jimmy in the back, and then Mae Young with like her grandson. Like, the fucking girl, dude, there's no, like, way I could describe this shit that shouldn't make people want to throw up. So I'm just going to go ahead and just leave it at that, because if you don't know, you're better off. And if you do know, that's what, you get what I'm saying. This is what the fuck with that segment. I definitely think that, Swagger is on his way out. I mean, I know they're like kind of building up around him too and talking about it, but like he jobbed to Brodus Clay. Brodus Clay normally has 4 moves in a match. Dude did 2 moves to motherfucking Swagger and pinned him clean. He did a suplex, like a release, like T-bone, sloppy head, like one of them joints, and then his little splash joint. That's horrible. And then Swagger jobbed out to that shit. Straight up. Middle of the ring, gone. And then he gets up off of that horrible, hard-fought victory, hard-fought loss, and gets a fucking tie-dye motherfucking Socko stuck in his mouth from Dude Love. Because Dude Love, you know, Cactus Jack, Mankind, whatever, came out at like 300-plus to fucking dance with fucking Brodus Clay, like in probably worse shape than Brodus Clay. Like, the dude, what the fuck, man? It's all ridiculous. Like, some of the shit was like,
they brought the cameos back, and some of it was like, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah, that's kind of cool. But then when you know there's, like, time and money put into it, like, why the fuck are we doing this? There's better new wrestlers. So they had, like, a Triple H and fucking Trish segment in the back, and Trish still looks good and all that. She's got the brunette hair now or whatever. But then they do the whole thing in the back and do, like, a sexual thing where, you know, she's trying to, like, I don't know, she's trying to check his prostate, what the fuck she's doing, because she's got him bent over and she's behind him and all that bullshit. But then afterwards, I don't care about none of that, but then afterwards, fucking X-Pac, like, fucking puts his arm around her shoulder. And I swear, if this is a live show, I think that was a shoot. I don't think there was nothing planned about that, because she seemed, whoa, like, fucking, he put her arm around her shoulder and was like, hey, so what's going on, girl? And she's like, nothing. And just looked, like, more awkward than fucking anything you could possibly imagine. So, honestly, I don't think fucking X-Pac's going to be on. I mean, who the fuck thinks X-Pac's going to be on motherfucking national TV next week? I would say no. And then I don't think Trish will be on there neither, honestly. So, comes down to it, you're just making him look like a complete creep. And her looking really awkward in that situation and writing him off TV. There's no angle towards it. There's no nothing. They're just like, wow, I fucking think you're disgusting. And then, well, you'll see neither of us next week. I mean, just, I think that was more legit. Like, he's a fucking creep with Hep C. And he's now a fat creep with Hep C. And, you know, I don't think she's fucking interested in her dude touching her. She's not even fucking a professional wrestler at this point, so. Jesus Christ. That just, to me, just looks so fucking ridiculously awkward. Then Slick came out for that whole thing. I thought the whole thing, pretty ridiculous, but, Slick coming out there and telling people that he's working for Yardbird is, that's something else. Then you got, you know, AJ becomes GM of Raw. Because she told dude, nah, I don't want to marry you because I got a new job and it's GM. And, well, there goes that. Then D-Bry's talking about he's the greatest of all time. Then The Rock comes out, calls him a homeless lumberjack. That banged an Oompa Loompa. And then, that's about as entertaining as that was. It's just, The Rock really does not entertain me anymore. He just doesn't. He speaks to the insults of a 15-year-old, and then he fucking, you know, does his moves, his one of five moves on people, and then he walks out. And now he's like 300 pounds of muscle, so that's, I mean, it's all impressive. It's really entertaining. So then Brett's out there. He shouts out Mr. Perfect. The Miz beats Christian. He's the IC champion because he's got a men's haircut now. Fucking, does, what the fuck is that right there? I don't know. Triple H cuts a fucking promo. Oh, Regis. Yeah, Regis cut, like, some kind of shit. Does he have throat cancer now? Because they cut him off the show, and, like, when he cut the promo for the WWE shit, he damn sure sounded like he couldn't speak straight at all, like, whatsoever. I don't know if he has throat cancer, but I think Regis might. Anyway, Triple H, fucking Heyman promo, blah, 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 blah. They go back and forth. Not terrible, but I don't care either way. Then Stephanie comes out because they said something about the kid, and, you know, Stephanie smacks Heyman, and then Brock Lesnar comes out, and it's like a over-the-top clothesline, fucking, well, see you next month or something, like that. Just, it's ridiculous. They keep people off TV for like 3 weeks, and then when they meet up, it's like a fucking, it's like a body slam or an over-the-top clothesline to the outside to a, I'll see you next month, buddy. I don't like the way you come. It just comes off fucking weak as hell. The whole thing to me is just like, they build up to building up. there's no actual payoff and dudes actually show up and they keep them off the TV. It's like, okay, yo, well, we'll see you even more next time. Like, oh, fuck. And then they had Slater versus Lita. Then they had the APA was out there. Then they had everybody, Animal, Sid, Vader, Doink, Sergeant Slaughter, DDP. And I still love JBL's clothesline from hell. Because he swings that shit like he doesn't give a fuck about the other guy. Because he doesn't, but still. Like, it's entertaining to me, goddammit. I like that reckless-ass clothesline he throws. They got Bob Backlund, Rikishi, Piper. It's all brutal. Then Kane comes out with Undertaker and shit. Well, Kane comes out first, and then, the Job Squad comes out. And Undertaker comes out to save him. And Undertaker just looks like the president of the Retired Bikers Union or some shit. Like, this motherfucker's ridiculous looking. I can't imagine people that are just like, hell yeah, it's about to turn up. Taker's here. Like, I don't know who the fuck is actually entertained by that shit anymore. I can't imagine it actually still exists. And if it does, you're definitely the minority. Get over yourself. He needs to retire. That's that there. And then, obviously they had the whole CM Punk heel turn thing where, pretty much no-sold Big Show, beating up Cena to DQ the match. First he tried to get the pin off of, Big Show's joint, and then allowed the match to be DQ'd and didn't give a fuck. And then Rock came in and attacked Big Show, and then Cena attacked him and walked out, didn't look at the fans, didn't react on that. So obviously turned heel, which honestly I think is better because CM Punk is a better heel. And it's not even that he's just a better heel, but even as a face that's climbing the ladder, and other people have said this too, and it's the truth, when he's more climbing the ladder and fighting the opposition, other than just being the top thing out there, there's not a lot to say when you're the top thing out there, but when other people are getting favored and people are getting over more than you're getting over, there's a lot more to say about the people above you, which I think is where CM Punk came in and he got over so well. But now we're talking, I've been champion for 8 months. What are you going to say to me? It's like, this and that. Now he's going to cut down the guy that's not been the champion for 8 months. It's awkward and it's crazy the way that it goes down. And it sucks because, obviously, as a CM Punk fan, I do want to see him on top. But if he looks overall better doing some shit without the belt, fuck, man. He's already done it for long enough to definitely be a staple on, someone the WWE's given the ball to. So fuck it. Ride with that. So that's my whole thing on that. As far as the AJ shit goes, man, I really don't know. I think they really jumped the shark on this shit. She's going to be... We're not going to go beyond, promos and an angle and a gimmick between three people or even four people. When she her, Kane, Punk, and Daniel Bryan, big, crazy, who's she going to go for? And then eventually they even had to write Kane out of it because it got to be too much. So then it was just her between two people. Now it's going to be her controlling a brand. I don't think she could pull that much crazy off. It's going to become awkward, if not immediately, which I think it will be. I'd say about 3 weeks in, the aura, if it does have an aura, will completely wear off, and people will be like, oh, what the fuck, man? Why is she telling people what to do? Who the fuck is she? What the fuck is this? Because you can't play the chick that has a crush on everybody if you're ruling over a whole fucking locker room. You can't play the chick that's, up and down when there's heels and faces and you have to deal with both, and you have to, I just, I don't know. There's so much wrong with, like, doing the things that they're doing with that gimmick. I mean, it started off pretty, you know, intriguing or whatever, but when it comes down to it, you're still not a fucking female wrestler, whatever anybody says. Especially, they just hired Sarah Del Rey to fucking train people. From what I hear, I don't know if that's true or not, but not even as, like, on-air talent, but to actually train people. Like, she's got to go back to developmental and get her shit kicked in by fucking Sarah. I can't imagine. So, I don't know. But, yeah, a lot of stuff going on there. It is what it is. Next week will be the 1001 episode, and I still don't give a shit. So, that's that with the Raw. All I got for Raw. I think next week, from what I know, I should be having Anthony Missionary Thomas from the Wrestling Soup on the show next week. Hopefully next Wednesday, that will be my guest, co-host, and you know, we'll just talk a bunch of shit for a couple hours, and yeah, should be very entertaining. He runs an awesome show over there that they will be doing tomorrow night, 10:15 p.m. Wrestling Soup. Check out my last week's guest and my next week's guest, and Joey Numbers and Anthony Missionary Thomas doing their thing over on the Wrestling Soup tomorrow night at 10:15 Eastern Time, WrestlingSoup.com. They do that whole shit there. Andrew Carluck does Stern Nation podcast. Check that shit out. I think they're probably going to be recording tomorrow night, something like that. Yeah, I mean, check that out. I enjoy that because I'm a huge Howard Stern fan. Yolanda does the Shiznit tomorrow night as well, I believe. Check her out. Like I said, check out Two Moms, One Show on Tuesdays. www.blogtalkradio.com/Yakuza. Yakuza. And, on Wednesday is same joint, well, but 9 o'clock, and that's same address. 9 o'clock Eastern, www.blogtalkradio.com/Yakuza. And, you know, subscribe to that shit on iTunes, and you just get all the shit that comes through my feed. And that's what it is. I guess I'm going to check you guys out next week. I think I'm actually going to play a track, too, to go out on. You know, just go a little bit longer for you people out there that want to listen to some more shit. And then after that, yeah, man, check me out next week.
Call us Gorillas of the Mist, raunchy vocalist. Yeah,
your code name,
Doc, what's your name?
Hot Nicks, who them slick kids, pumping that shit, holding they dick.
Yo, them same two, driving your whip, fucking your bitch.
Hold me down,
yo,
son.
I hold you down with the pound.
You got a lot of
bitches. Hey, yo, but where they at now?
Digging down, down, we reservoir dogs, you puppy chow chow. Got my mittens on the kitten, making it now,
yo,
now.
Yo, we bring the beats to you infested with the mad cow.
Disease,
we set to load.
Cock and squeeze,
booyah.
We too hard to hold on.
One arm slam ya like Nikolai Volkov.
When I dip, dip, job off the anti-socializer. Everything be ice cream, observe the bruges glossier.
We rock ya, knock ya, fucking whole team off the roster. Starting lineup, Iron Law.
Funk Doctor. Johnny Blaze the Ghost Rider, ghost stories by the campfire, we night breed, vampire, ducking from the head rushing, Wu-Tang production, percussions bringing repercussion, I hold my mic sideways busting, another one bites the dustin', cardiac arrest clutching, your chest sucking, your last breath, MR, period, map, niggas dying from paper cuts, bleeding to death, down these mean streets, Johnny Quest, from ASCAP to NASDAQ, get that money sack, this habitat, ain't no place to raise a family at. These alley cats be at war with these dirty rats. So watch your back when you come to the slums. There ain't nowhere to run from the iron of the lungs. Phasers on stunt, I be giving it the sun. My plague spares no one, my Uzi weighs a ton.
Words up, man. Talk with the man, dog. Talk with the man. shoot a shoe shine box, connect the dots. My description, black male, yellow than mellow. I make it hard for MCs to run neck and elbow with D.O. P. No Cold. Bebo knows to duck when he hit the bite with this weak clutch. Swallow this hard act to follow. You can parachute off my slang and use my rhymes to toggle. I'm tense, so smooth I can't be fingerprinted. I stomp harder in slow motion. Then fuck your applaud. Bitches still rush me like they rush the store before a Soul Train award. The corporate law, whoever ain't wrong, get their hand chopped by Jamal with the Woo sword. My crew specializing, snaking your bitch, robbing you while you on the floor, shaking and shit. I'm doing me now, do you?
Yo, who you?
Die. I bomb shit to the conflicts, proof you. I be the black Amino. I mean, yo, I'm supreme like the team show with your page, your cream foe.
To see you sit down.
Yo, nah, we get the fuck up.
And lead the one you with.
Then take up from Usher. That's right. 600 with chrome pipes. U.S. Marshals out to pin us up like snipe.
Throw it and drive.
Fuck taking me and.
But you go to the back and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
We're taking over. We're taking over.